Welcome to Leadership Everywhere, the podcast on leadership in the 21st century. To ask questions and search for answers is a central aspect of our humanity. This is a creative act. In this podcast, I ask questions about leadership and explore them with you. By asking questions, I want to stimulate your imagination and create new images of leadership. This is episode 8, and today it's about conflicts. Disputes, provocations, conflicts, we could all do without them with pleasure. But as long as there are people, there is quarrel. For all the professionalism to which we all subscribe, the workplace offers manifold opportunities for disputes and conflicts. People have different points of view and interests, different characters, and we spend a lot of time together. At least before Corona. We don't yet know exactly how lockdown and work from home affect conflicts in organizations. They might just be moving more to the home. It will be interesting to see all the effects in time. I'm sure you know the good old saying, it takes two to tango. Everyone is free to decide whether they want to get involved in a conflict or stay away. Conflicts tie up energy, and often they trigger strong emotions or cause offenses and emotional distress. Many conflicts are not only about differences in opinion, but are overlaid with offenses and injuries which affect the relationship. But always giving in just for the sake of harmony can lead to massive psychological disorders over time. On the other hand, it doesn't make sense to react to every provocation or disagreement with a quarrel or fight. How should you decide whether to get involved in a conflict? I've come across a simple recipe. A reality check using the 3 B's. With this quick test, you can check the motives of your counterpart. First B, brainless. Is your counterpart simply not up to date? Do they have wrong information or are they missing information? You can find this out with a few factual questions and directly clarify the conflict. Second B, blind. Does your counterpart not see the whole picture? Or has a misconception about the issue and is thus missing the point? Again, a clarifying conversation can quickly end the conflict. These two B's are usually in the category of misunderstandings and can usually be resolved rather easily. The prerequisite for this is not to demean or attack your counterpart and not to suspect dishonest motives from the outset. Let's move on to the third B, bad. Someone regularly crosses boundaries, defames or ignores you, tells lies about you, and so on. Research has found that most people in such a situation hide their feelings and pretend not to be upset. This is a popular strategy, but if you swallow a nasty conflict for a long time, your quality of life will suffer and you will damage your health. Time to counteract. But first things first. Conflicts have different levels of escalation, and it pays to know and understand them. The conflict level model, according to Glasl, assumes 9 steps which are divided into 3 levels. The first level is the win-win level. Through an open conversation, possibly with the help of a moderator, both adversaries can find an amicable solution. The second level is the win-lose level. Here the conflict has reached the relationship level. Each party tries, by all means, to get the upper hand. Things can get pretty bad. The third level is the lose-lose level. The conflict is completely out of control. Each party accepts its own destruction, as long as the other is also destroyed. How can you keep a conflict under control? What experiences have you had with conflicts yourself? What did you do? What worked and what didn't? Conflicts do not automatically end up on the level 2 or 3. You are not powerless in the face of a conflict. The extent to which a conflict escalates is largely in your own hands. Basically, you have three options: love it, change it, or leave it. Self-determined action starts with yourself, because you cannot change someone else. We can only change the person who looks back at us in the mirror every morning. We can change ourselves and the way we look at things. Try to understand your own motives. What exactly do I want? What kind of feelings does this conflict trigger in me? Is it really me that is meant? Or is it about a different point of view, a different opinion? What is my part in the conflict? Can I accept that there are other points of view, even if I don't agree? Think for a moment. Can you go for a coffee with a colleague just after you had a hot argument with her? If so, then you both have managed to keep the conflict on the factual level, and you won't damage each other as humans and colleagues. You're fine. In addition to self-reflection, there is another excellent way to approach conflicts constructively: a change of perspective. Try to see the conflict through the eyes of your counterpart. This exercise is not always easy. If you find it difficult, a coach can help you. When changing perspectives, you put yourself into the situation of your counterpart. What is driving them? What motives could be behind their behavior? Let's take the example of a colleague who constantly bitches about the department, yet her performance leaves much to be desired, and you as a manager or a colleague are constantly challenged. She is slow, regularly misses deadlines, and others in the team suffer as well. You are annoyed. After all, you can only achieve your own goals if you can rely on everyone in the team. At some point, you simply consider your colleague to be incapable, and there are constant arguments. When you change perspective, you look at the situation through the eyes of the other person. You might find out what you experience as slow is her thoroughness, or her tendency to perfection. She has problems finishing a job because it's never good enough for her. That would then be the point you could talk about and see if a balance can be found. You could also discover that the colleague had different expectations of her job, based on her experience or expertise. She could simply be under-challenged. This could also be the reason for her negative attitude towards the department or the team. With this insight, you can set clear boundaries regarding her behavior and at the same time try to work with her to further develop her area of responsibility or help her move to another more suitable position in the company. The change of perspective expands the space for solutions, and it's very effective in creating win-win situations. What circumstances are likely to promote conflict? What comes to your mind? What is meant by a good conflict culture? Certain external circumstances very often promote conflicts. Conflicts often happen because of bad structures, for example, unclear tasks and roles in the team. It's not clear who is responsible for what, who can decide what, or where do we actually want to go. Leadership everywhere is about personal responsibility and self-determination. That requires clarity on goals and boundaries, so that everyone can actually contribute productively and not waste their energy in conflicts. As long as structural causes prevail, the same conflicts will occur again and again. A good conflict culture can help uncover structural problems. That is the case when everyone can contribute openly and constructively, can address problems directly, can make suggestions for change or improvement, and can be sure that no one will take it personally, even if they disagree. Overcoming conflicts and solving problems together makes teams even stronger. If you promote a climate that allows everyone to address conflicts immediately and openly, you contribute a lot to a good conflict culture. This is also evident when dealing with errors. There is great potential for conflicts in this area. Consider the following. Your finance person miscalculated a project, and now funding is at risk. Very unpleasant. The most common reaction is reproaches. What were you thinking? How could this happen? Your mistake endangers the whole project. This will have consequences for you. This reaction is understandable, but what does it achieve? Your finance guy is forced into a defensive position, perhaps tries to assign the blame to someone else, is annoyed, possibly also feels unfairly treated, because he's usually a diligent worker. The ruckus is perfect, and everyone tries to run for cover. Starting the conversation with blame makes it impossible to approach the problem constructively and objectively. This is true in general, whether the conversation is between colleagues, friends, or within the family. The past can no longer be changed. What matters now is to learn lessons for the future. Instead of lamenting about the past, the conversation could be different. For example, what will you do differently in the future? Is there anything we should change in the process? Do you have suggestions how to get out of this? This allows the employee to be open about their mistake, while showing their ability to learn and find solutions. And by the way, with a forward-looking approach, you strengthen the trust between you and your colleague. What happens if your counterpart attacks or insults you personally? How can an escalation be avoided? How do you meet these so-called difficult people? Yes, they exist, the choleric and the cynical, the narcissists, the aggressive and the spiteful, and the like. And each of us, too, can show one or the other of these behaviors in various gradations. In order for us not to feel disrespected all the time, and for the sake of decent relationships at work, we need to be good at knowing and setting our boundaries. How confidently we deal with offenses depends to a large extent on our self-worth. For me, it's always important to ask myself, can this person really offend me? Is he important enough for me? Is what she is saying actually relevant to me? Is she just trying to provoke me? Or has he perhaps hit a sore spot? The last question requires a lot of self-reflection, because sometimes we are hit at the point that we do not want to admit about ourselves or that actually bothers us. It's worthwhile to face it, because we can become more aware of ourselves and can try to change or change our attitude towards an issue. At the moment of the confrontation, however, things can get quite heated, and there's no time for calm self-reflection. With an assaultive or perhaps even yelling counterpart, the temptation is great to yell back or otherwise go to the same level. Escalation is then inevitable. In this case, it's better to interrupt the conversation. Give yourself time to get your own emotions under control. Consider your own interests and what alternative courses of action you have. Tell your counterpart that you will not continue the conversation in this manner. You are ready to move on as soon as a factual and respectful dialogue is possible. In many cases, this will bring your counterpart to their sense, or this person might apologize. If both sides are interested in resolving a conflict in a factual and constructive manner, there are a number of options. For example, you can involve a third person, someone whom both sides recognize and respect. Or you can set up rules for discussion within your team that are binding for everyone. If none of this helps, but there is still a basic willingness to resolve the conflict, using a professional mediator can be useful. Mediators have a range of tools and methods available to resolve conflicts. The crucial point in mediation is that both parties are genuinely interested in resolving the conflict. If one party only pretends to collaborate, and this can happen, the process will fail. What to do when nothing helps? If you can't achieve your goal, or your counterpart is not interested in conflict resolution? Remember the three options: love it, change it, or leave it. The ultimate ratio is to leave the conflict. That can be to give in on a particular issue, or even physically walk away. You leave the team if you can, or leave the organization and look for another, more suitable environment for you. When you leave a conflict, please close it for yourself. You can do so by reconciling with your counterpart or having a respectable exit. Try to adopt a generous, confident attitude. Do not hold grudges in your heart. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. You'll hear from me again in 2 weeks. The next episode is about language in business. Words can motivate and inspire, or there can be weapons that hurt and exclude. I welcome suggestions, feedback, constructive criticism, or questions from you. You can find more information and my contact details in the show notes. My articles, blog posts, and tips are available on my website www.abadu-coaching.com. And now, another bon mot along the way. Beyond right and wrong, there is a place. That's where we meet. Rumi. Keep positive and stay tuned. Yours, Gabriela Abado.